Hey everyone, welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts for this journey are my fellow Trek actor who also directed numerous episodes of the acclaimed teen drama Dawson's Creek, Mr. Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself,
I don't wanna wait
Garrett Wong.
For that life to be over, or will it be? Or will it be? I don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
Okay. Yeah. It's a little something like
nice.
That.
Nice.
Yeah. Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
That was
yes.
Good times. Such
oh
good
my
times.
Goodness. And remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers. You like how I just picked it right back up?
Yeah, you did. I had to do a musical interlude, and then we come back to the intro.
Oh my goodness. All right.
My favorite forever ensign dressed as so happy Halloween, everybody.
Yes.
First of all,
happy
we are
Halloween.
Dressed up. We are go ahead and tell explain
sure,
to everybody
sure.
what
for,
we're
and,
doing
for anyone,
in these.
Yes,
amazing
for anyone just costumes. Listening, or anyone
yes.
who's only listening, you know, you're not going to be able to see us. But for those of you who are Patreon patrons who can see this podcast and can see this recording of this podcast, they will notice that we are wearing not the exact costumes, but a
we're cosplaying.
Representation. Yeah, we're cosplaying as ourselves in the episode Fairhaven, which is the episode that we are reviewing today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So yeah. Robbie is dressed just like he looked. He's got that newsboy cap on, and he has his vest. His shirt opened up a little bit to show off his chest hair. And me, I've got my three-piece suit, which I thank you to my dad raiding his closet. I have his suit. I have a vest. I have my my dad's red tie. I have my own white shirt. And courtesy of Amazon, I ordered this hat to
amazing.
Just like Harry. Now, remember, Robbie, initially we kind of thought maybe we should dress as each other. Like you would wear this and then I would wear your outfit.
Yeah.
But we stuck with. Yeah.
I think it's good to go classic.
It
just,
is.
Just, you know, we're in the classic Fairhaven look here.
It is.
And it's kind of weird, actually.
It's weird, but it's cool. And you're lucky because the type of hat that you're wearing, you're able to put your microphone over your head. I have I gotta stick it backwards so it doesn't, because the hat would look ridiculous. It would be bent down on the side.
I love your hat though, the straw hat.
Nice.
You should wear that at conventions.
You know, not only that, I think I'm gonna go out in public like this
right
after this. I'm gonna go to the grocery store after this.
You can
wearing
pull
this.
That off.
And
for sure.
I think people will stop and take pictures with me.
Yeah.
And they won't even know who I am. They're like, gosh, you look great. Can I take a photo with you?
Yes. Yeah.
So, okay. Good to know.
This is funny. Happy Halloween.
Happy
everybody.
Halloween. My goodness.
We did this last year.
We did.
I was Bob Ross.
And I was a shark.
You were a shark. Which, you know, that combo makes so much sense too.
Well, did Bob Ross ever paint happy little sharks? I don't know.
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, no. So, yeah,
he,
I think this is
But he painted oceans that the sharks lived
he,
in.
He did. He painted did. The habitat of the sharks.
Seaside scenes and things.
Yes. But this takes the cake. I think this really, we've
this
upped our game. And we have, you know, we're wearing Voyager cosplays right now.
That's
which is
amazing.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the costumes that we wore for Fairhaven?
Yes, I do. I do.
I, first of all, was super comfortable.
Yes.
But I remember the pieces, they all had little tags in them from, I think it was Western Costume or something.
That's right. Yeah. The big costume house in LA.
Mm-hmm. The big costume house that goes way back to, you know, the old studio days. They had cowboy clothes there and,
yeah.
you know, World War II costumes and anything you wanted. But I remember these were like really vintage old costumes, probably from some movie back in the golden age of Hollywood. And there we were wearing it on Voyager. So it's kind of cool.
It is cool. There's actually an Instagram account that shows costumes, the same costume worn in
umpteen
different productions. Yes, they're saying, look at this gown worn by actress, you know, so and so in this movie, and then another actress in a completely different movie, and another movie. Yeah, so that is actually an account on Instagram.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, cool. All right, I'm excited. I think we look great, and I think everyone who's watching this is going to be pretty tickled pink about the fact that we have our own cosplays of our character from this episode.
That's so silly.
Yeah.
Don't forget, everybody listening or watching, we have a Delta Flyers costume contest, Halloween costume contest.
We do, right.
That you got to get your submissions in by November 3rd.
Yes.
And it's a picture of you or your child or your pet or whatever. Yeah. In a Star Trek related costume, and you have to have a sign that says hashtag TDF for the Delta Flyers. Get it in by November 3rd to the Delta Flyers. You'll be part of it. We have three different winners, and it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see what everybody comes up with.
All right. So this week's episode.
Yes.
Fairhaven, of course.
Yes.
So let us go and watch this episode. And we will come right back with our recap and discussion of Fairhaven. See you soon, everyone. Okay, we're back from watching.
Yes, we are.
Fairhaven. Oh, my goodness.
We are back, and we look like we just came out of the episode in our Halloween costumes.
We
are dressed as Fairhaven characters.
Yes, as we said in the intro, for those of you that are listening. And I think we did a pretty good job in matching what we looked like.
Bad.
You know, not too bad for the time that we had to get our costumes together and our resources. Yeah.
Amateur version. It's a cosplay version.
It's a cosplay version. Yeah. Exactly. Hmm. It's just, so, all right. Let's start off with the haiku and the limerick. So here's my haiku for Fairhaven. Fairhaven is bliss. Lots of flirting going on. Janeway finds Michael. That's it.
That's all you need.
I didn't talk about the anomaly, the displacement wave, any of that stuff, but I felt that your limerick will fill in the blanks.
Of course it will. Yes, okay. I've got a lot more real estate on limerick here.
Yeah,
here we go. For Fairhaven, the limerick poetry synopsis. Tom has made Fairhaven for the holodeck. A radioactive storm is coming and could cause a wreck. Janeway meets an Irish lad. His snoring makes her a bit mad. But they brave the storm, and the captain does more than just neck. Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, good.
I think we got a bunch in there.
You got a ton in there. My goodness. And you got the word neck in there, too. Exactly. Short for necking, right?
So, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Because no one ever says more than just necking.
You want a neck? No one says you want a neck, but
yeah, it's kind of old fashioned.
For the purpose of the limerick, you had to be shortened.
You got
to
go with whatever you can.
What was the word that you rhyme neck with? What was the first?
Holodeck.
Oh, holodeck.
And
okay.
The thing's going to cause a wreck.
Wreck. Holodeck, wreck, and neck.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Good job. Okay.
What the heck?
Hey, did you do the guest stars, every single guest star, even the ones that were, you know, not in the beginning? Okay.
I think so. Let's see here. First of all, let's talk about, Fairhaven, written by Robin Berger. Do you remember Robin Berger?
No, but what's weird is when I was watching the episode, she popped up before the writer credit as a producer. So it says producer Robin
Berger.
She
was on staff. Yeah.
But then I don't even remember her producing. I was like, who is this person?
No.
And then writer as well, written by. So I'm completely in the dark.
I'm stumped. Well, here's the thing about Robin Berger. I did find out her first writing job was on the TV series Crazy Like a Fox, 1984. That was Jack Warden and John Rubenstein, the PI, and then his reluctant son played by John Rubenstein. That was her. She was a staff writer on that Crazy Like a Fox.
Right.
So, but I don't remember Robin, actually. I really have a vague memory, maybe.
So you think she got hired season six, yep, then at the beginning. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So season six would have been 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, like 2000. 99 into 2000. All right. So really that makes sense. If her first credit was 80, you said 84, right? 84,
yeah.
85.
Yeah.
So 84.
Staff writer in 84. She's been writing 16, for 15 years.
Yeah. 16, 15, 16 years later, she's probably proficient enough that she could have gotten into our writer's room. Oh, I guess, right? Yeah, so yeah.
Directed by Alan Craker. Yes. I thought this was David Livingston.
Yeah, no.
Alan Craker.
Alan, who would be amazing to interview if we could get a hold of him. So
I know.
We'll see.
I'm trying.
I know you are.
I'm trying.
I know you are.
Let's talk about our guest stars. We had Richard Reel, who plays Seamus, the guy who's always asking for money.
Yes.
And Richard was on, he did three Star Trek shows. He was on TNG, Voyager, and Enterprise.
Oh my goodness.
And so he's very familiar to the Star Trek fandom.
Yeah.
He also, his very first movie, very first acting, professional acting job that I could find was a movie called Joyride, 1977.
What?
Starred Melanie Griffith.
Teenager
on the run. I think it was something about, They went on a road trip to save the forest or something. I don't know.
Oh my
something
gosh.
Like, yeah, it was teenagers on the run causing havoc to save the environment or
and
something.
And he's the other teenager with Melanie?
No, I don't think he was a teenager. I think he was like, I don't know, maybe a cop or something.
All right. That makes
sense. I don't know. 1977, though. So by the time he was with us, he'd been doing this for almost 25
some
years.
Time, yeah.
A special guest star, of course, is Fintan. How do you pronounce his last name?
I say McEwen. Yeah.
Fintan, that sounds right. Fintan McEwen plays Michael Sullivan, the love of Janeway's episode.
Yes. They cast an Irishman to play an Irishman.
He is an Irishman, yes.
Yes.
His very first job that I could find was in 1982.
Oh.
He was in a TV miniseries in England called The Year of the French.
Interesting.
It was a historical drama on
BBC.
Probably BBC or something. 1982.
2 years before Robin Berger's first credit as a writer.
So. Yes.
Hmm.
We also had Jan Clare playing Franny.
Francis or Franny, yes.
Francis or Franny. Her first job was a horror film, 1981, called Madman.
Madman.
Sounds like a scary movie.
Yes.
And it's Halloween, so it would be a good time to go look for Jan Clare.
Yes, and because of Janeway's selfish motives, she was eliminated from the program.
Delete the wife. An amazing scene.
It was. Good scene.
Playing Maggie was Henriette Ivanens. Henriette Ivanens. I think she might have been Canadian. Interesting, weird little things I found.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Her first job was in a TV movie in 1992 called Borderline High. And it was a TV movie that starred, or one of the stars was a little known actress who's going to make it someday, named Alanis Morissette.
Who is Canadian, right?
So. Yes, she's in a high school TV movie called Borderline High with Alanis Morissette. Also, I found out Henriette was a makeup artist. She was a professional makeup artist.
I did not
And
know
I
that.
Think that's what she may have done first and then gotten into acting, or maybe did both for a while. But yeah, she playing Maggie, Henriette.
That's I actually saw her at the Las Vegas Trek convention.
Oh, really?
Probably 6 years ago or something like that. Like that, she had called me. I somehow got a hold of her, and I set it up so that I got her a room, because you know that's the main expense when you're not when you're not the main stars. If you're a guest star, you have to kind of handle your own lodging. So I did provide her with a comped room for when she was there. So,
oh, great.
And it was really nice seeing her again.
Had she done a convention before? Was that the first time?
Never.
That was probably a trip for her.
Yeah, that was a huge trip for her. And she said, basically, thank you so much. Without your help, this, you know, I would have been, I wouldn't have really made a profit this weekend. So, thank you so much. And if you ever need headshots, my husband is a headshot photographer. So I was like, oh, that's nice. I never took her up on that offer, but
oh wow,
but at least that was thrown out there. So if I ever need new headshots, I can still call
that's
her.
That's right. Everybody that needs headshots, go to Henriette Ivonen's
husband. There you
husband.
Go. Husband. Yes.
Last guest star I have who played Grace, who was the other lady on the street, I think.
Yep.
Duffy McIntyre is her name.
That's a very Irish name also.
Duffy McIntyre. Yeah.
And I love it.
Her first job, although I don't know if it was a job, a lot of people make short films as their first kind of thing. And that was the first thing I could find was Blind. Oh. Was the name of a short film that she did. But Voyager was the next credit. So
wow,
she did one short film that I can find, and then she got Voyager. So this was one of her first.
Well, yes, and in this episode, the very first bit of dialogue in the entire episode is you saying good morning to, or her saying good morning to you, and you saying good morning back to her.
Yeah.
Later, I think Janeway approaches her to ask her where Tom Paris is, or maybe where Michael is, one of the two. So she has more lines, and I thought she did a great job for her second job. She really
she did like great.
A pro. Yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay. Awesome.
So there you go. There's our cast, our writer, our director. That's the people that made it.
Let's get right into it. I love this opening shot. It's a close up on the train, on the tracks, and then there's some steam that comes off the train, and that's the transition to luggage being offloaded from the train. So really, really nice composition by Alan in this very opening shot.
Well, it's interesting. Okay. So as soon as I saw the train and then the transition through the steam, it revealed that we were on the back lot at Universal. There's a little train depot there. And I have shot at that train depot before. It's the train depot. I shot a big sequence for Chuck when they were in Prague.
Oh,
and Chuck and Sarah say goodbye to each other.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal. And we had to put a train. The thing I know about that location is there is no train available. There's the tracks end 50 feet past the set. You can't put a physical train in there.
Gotcha. So, it's just the tracks.
Yeah. So I wondered when I saw that first shot, I was like, wait, they could have gone to Travel Town, which is at Griffith Park. There's trains there.
Okay.
And they could have shot a shot. It's right down the street from Universal. It's not far. They could have gone down and gotten a shot of a tight shot of a train, because it's like a train museum there.
Right.
They could have gotten a shot of the train and put some steam and then use the steam to double the Universal backlot, because you can't put a train there.
Okay,
there's
that
just
makes
no
sense.
Way.
Gotcha.
But I really was excited when I saw that little train depot, because I've shot there a few times, but the biggest thing was the big scene with Chuck and Sarah saying goodbye when Chuck series.
I remember that
big moment.
That episode. Yeah. That was a big moment. That's a good catch. That's a good catch. And I'm going to catch myself. And I inadvertently said from the very opening scene, now, and I should have said from the very first scene instead of very opening. So I'm correcting myself there.
Well, that is very correcting that you did. That's you were very corrective.
Okay.
We have a very corrective.
We have a sign.
Yes.
We have a sign which has Fairhaven and Welcome Weary Traveler, both in English and Irish Gaelic. So that's a nice little establishing sign that we get to see.
Yeah.
Right. And then we move over into the town square, I guess. This cool establishing shot of the town square. In the background, we see an upward sloping hillside. Is that the actual hillside of Universal? No, that's all put in post. Correct?
In the big wide shot, that was a set extension. So a matte painting. That
matte
was
painting.
The Irish hillsides in the big wide shot.
Yep.
And then when you see the shots a little closer down on the street, that is the hillside of Universal, but it doesn't look anything like the matte painting.
Correct.
It's in the big wide shot.
That's
you can
right.
see the difference if you look close.
Yeah. So we see a couple in a horse and carriage, a lady sweeping the sidewalk, which later turns out to be our first guest star that speaks. And then there's a lovely crane shot showing Tom Paris walking down the street. And that's when Tom says hi to Grace and is stopped by one of the locals, Seamus, with his
Richard
sob story.
Did you notice, by the way, when I responded to my first line, had a little bit of a Irish. You and I both do a little Irish in this once or twice.
Okay. Can we talk about this right now?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
You know me, and you know how I love to do voices, accents, yes, impersonations. Yes. So I called Ken Biller before the beginning of this episode, and I said, yeah, I'd like to do all my lines in Fairhaven in an Irish accent. And he said, nope. He goes, absolutely not. And I remember being just crestfallen when I heard this. I was like, what? And then I was angry because I was like, wait a minute, you let the TNG cast, every time they do the holodeck, like they did a Western one, and they're all like, hey, partner. So they're doing their accents, but you're not going to let us do it. So I snuck in my accent in a couple of lines. And basically and the only time I felt that it would work was if I was responding to one of the holodeck characters when they said something. And we will get to that point when we...
You and I both did a little bit. I vaguely remember this now. Like, I remember them telling the cast, you're just speaking normal. Everybody else's characters are Irish accents, but nobody should do an Irish accent. Now that you bring that up, I do remember that.
Yeah. So after you give money to Seamus and you see me off to the side talking to Maggie. And another thing, I thought it was Maggie O'Halloran. It's not O'Halloran. I thought it was O'Halloran for the last 25 years. Yeah. It's O'Halloran is what it is. It's O'Halloran, not O'Halloran. But you come over to see what's going on, you know, and I said, I've been distracted. I didn't meet you. I've been and clearly being distracted by Maggie. And then she says, charmed to have met you, Harry. And I say, charmed. So I threw in my Irish accent.
A little Irish.
Charmed. And then also a little bit further, a little bit later in this scene, Tom warns Harry that Maggie is promised to a pig farmer with a very large rake. And that's when I say, Tommy boy, you forgot the leprechauns. And I again threw in a little bit more Irish accent. Yeah. And then the doctor even throws one because he rides up on his bike and he says, marning lads is what he says. So he throws his Irish
We're
accent.
Sneaking. Yeah.
We're all sneaking it in because we felt noticed, Ken Biller was off the mark on that one.
It was just fun to do. It was
fun
to kind of play around with it.
Yes.
By the way, the doctor arrived on a bike.
Yes.
And Bob Picardo stayed upright. He did not fall down and hurt his butt like he did when we interviewed him once while he was riding a bike for the Delta Flyers. And he took a fall and had a butt injury episode. So everyone can rest assured, Bob Picardo did not encounter a butt injury. Okay.
I have to say thank you to Bob for actually having that accident and still living, but having that accident on our podcast because that's been my biggest selling point. When I meet fans at conventions that don't even know about this podcast, I said, oh, you've got to listen. There's a moment where Bob Picardo almost dies. And I tell them about the whole story and they're like, wow, they're into it. So thank you, Bob, for doing, for crashing.
I also want to say in this opening scene, Richard Reel, who plays
Seamus.
As soon as I saw him and started remembering this, I remember having some great conversations with Richard. I remember we talked about the theater a bit. He'd worked in the theater.
Okay.
I don't recall a lot of the detail of the conversations, but I had this memory of, boy, I really enjoyed sitting around in the chairs with Richard. He was it was just really fun. I'd wished, we'd done more of these holodecks so he could have come back and hung out with us because he was a lot of fun to hang out with. So.
Well, that's awesome to hear. I did not know that. I didn't share that time with him. I was clearly too busy flirting with Maggie.
Yes,
O'Halloran to hang out with.
Well, Harry also sets up in this episode a little bit of the romantic side of this holodeck that Janeway is going to go down. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I like that they were setting up the sort of, this is, people can explore and experiment a little with flirting and being romantic. And it's a holodeck, of course, but I like the fact that Harry was opening that door a little for the themes of this episode.
So. Yeah. And to be honest, I did have a big crush on Henry.
You did?
Yes.
You had a crush on every girl.
I had a crush.
Almost every girl.
I'd say probably
90%.
85. No, I'm going lower. 72%. 72%.
92%.
84.
Okay.
I'll give you 90%. Fine. 90%. But, this, I don't know. And nothing ever came of it. I mean, I never asked her out, whatever. I think she was already in a relationship at the time.
No, a lot of times nothing ever did come of it. You just, every time a girl showed up, you were like that, your radar just went.
But this actress, I really did. I just felt, wow. Just overall, I thought she was very, very, very pretty. I really, you know, I mean, you know, different. You're attracted to people for different reasons. I felt that she was a very attractive young lady. So yeah.
Everybody was great. All these guest stars were great. I remember having a lot of fun.
And I was right in the intro. Yeah, if you remember, there's no cow in this one. It's in the later one for sure. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we have the opening credits. Now we go inside the bar.
Yeah,
and
we're in Sullivan's.
People are placing bets on an arm wrestling match with Harry. Arm wrestling, we'll learn his name is Liam, who's never been defeated before.
No, I love that opening scene between you and the doctor. And it was the best. And the doctor is like, I'll put however many shillings on Liam. And you're like, really? That's going to hurt Harry's feelings.
That's going to hurt his. Did you see me standing up for you there?
You did stand up for me. Yes. And I was like, thank God somebody's there to stand up for me.
And by the way, I don't want to give it away, spoiler, but you're going to win this arm wrestling match. So I helped the doctor out.
You did.
By placing the bet. You should have bet it all.
He changed his bet. He should have bet the whole kit and caboodle. You're right. All right.
Yes, I like when he says, okay, fine, 2 shillings on Harry, and I'll pray for a miracle.
Yeah.
Maybe it was his dialogue. Prayer that helped you.
Yes, it was the prayer. It was divine intervention. Janeway shows up and asks the bartender where Tom Paris is.
The bartender, as in Fintan McEwan.
As in Michael Sullivan. So
Michael Sullivan is the bartender. I love the transition off the beers in the foreground.
Yeah.
Finding Janeway entering. She's looking for some of her crew.
Right.
She says something like, I'm looking for my friends. He said, well, we're all friends in here. Something very Irish.
Yes.
And she goes, well, what about Tom Paris? By the way, she's in her uniform.
Yeah. Do the holiday characters not realize that she's in the funkiest, you know, Irish clothing ever when she walks in that uniform?
Yeah, it's weird.
That is a little odd. I thought that they would recognize that or notice something was off with that, but okay.
Agreed. He doesn't comment.
No.
Then we go, she finds, Tom and the gang and Harry over there with this arm wrestling match, which by the way, you start the arm wrestling match at the opening of the scene. And then there's a long scene with Janeway and Michael. You've been arm wrestling for the last couple of minutes. And we come back and you're still
arm wrestling.
It was the longest arm wrestle in the history of arm wrestling.
I mean, no, who's going to have the stamina to last that long?
Well, obviously you did because you win it. You win it.
I won it
very dramatically. Love all the faces
and the yelling grunting from the doctor, right?
Yeah,
the doctor yelling at me, come on! And then I love the fact that I sort of take a break from the actual arm wrestling match to acknowledge that the doctor is screaming at me, and I give that reaction shot to him. I love that point.
It was fun. It was a fun arm wrestling match.
It was good. A neutronic wavefront. That's the information Janeway's there for, to tell us. A neutronic wavefront approaching class 9, which gives Harry, you know, that makes him pause and go, what? Class 9? That's a big wave.
Duty calls.
Yeah.
Duty calls. And I love the flip of the hat. You take the hat and you do a little whoop-whoop up onto your head. That was amazing.
I talked to Alan about that beforehand. And I said, what do you think if I, instead of just putting my hat on just the normal way, what if I do this cool Fonzie-like thing where I'm going to flip it up and land it on my head? And he goes, if you can do it, I'll let you, you know, let's go for it. I'm like, I can do it.
So I remember this.
I was practicing.
You're trying to do like a whole up midair thing. And you ended up sort of with a...
Just a little twirl within my fingers and landing it on my head.
Yeah, so it wouldn't fall. Because I remember it was 50-50 on landing it.
In terms of landing it, it's perfectly, exactly. But it still looked good. I think it looked great.
Really, really good. I do remember you doing that.
Oh, yeah. And then Janeway, when she leaves the holodeck, gives that flirty, flirty smile to Michael.
God.
Yes. JC shippers are not happy.
I was not happy at all.
I know. This was like, what is going on?
Very upsetting.
Yeah.
We go to a space flyby with the ship.
Yep.
Next, we're in Astrometrics, where Seven's explaining this anomaly is a Borg classification 3472. It's a particle density anomaly formed, she explains, by two neutron stars that have collided. Mm-hmm. And it's 15 hours until we hit the wavefront. Yeah. So it's kind of like a big storm coming.
It's a big storm. And it's crazy because it's traveling at 200,000 kilometers per second. It just, you know, if you think about it, that's not per hour, per minute. It's per second. That's how fast it's coming. And it's 3.6 light years wide. I mean, so you can't get around it. So that's
it's like a hurricane. Yeah. We're about to hit a hurricane. Yeah. Alana even says that the radiation is already preventing us from going to warp, so we can't outrun it.
That's right.
So Janeway goes, we're going to have to ride it out.
Yep.
And Chakotay says this radiation is going to get worse. Janeway says to Chakotay, let's tell the doctor to inoculate the crew. And I did want to say, we kind of end it with that. We're going to get inoculated. We're going to ride this thing out.
Right.
But I did want to say, I loved Alan's coverage of this scene in Astrometrics. Oh. Often in Astrometrics, everybody's just sort of standing there and it's just a lot of boring looking at a screen.
Yeah, it's kind of dull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one had a little bit of movement between Janeway. Tom sort of moved around to carry the shot from one piece of dialogue to another.
Yeah.
And the camera was always floating and moving. It really helped the tension for the scene. Nice. I really liked it. Was subtle, but a great detail.
Yeah, I did not catch that. But my takeaway, I had two takeaways. Number one, the Borg classification. Does that number sound familiar at
8472.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost 3472. It was 3472, but that's one number off of species 8472. I had that notation. So maybe that was stuck in the writer's brains.
Yeah.
And secondly, at the very end of the scene, when Janeway says, these are all the things that we have to do, she uses all of these naval terms. It's like, well, you know, we're going to generate an inverse warp field and drop anchor. And then she says, okay, we need to have inoculations and we need to batten down the hatches. So all these naval terms and phrases are popping out left and right, which I thought was pretty cool.
I think the whole thing has a bit of like an Irish coastal, you know, Tom talks about the coast, and later on he's going to tell Tuvok about a floating in a boat, you know, meditating up and down and up. So there's a lot of sort of the Irish Sea, and you know there's the sort of the romance of Ireland and the Irish Sea and the mysteries of, you know, that sort of thing. So it's a theme throughout the episode for sure.
For sure. Okay.
Mess we go off. To a space shot first, and we see this ship. We see Voyager just floating dead in space.
Yes.
And we don't normally see that. In I don't know, that particular space shot to me really grabbed my attention. I was like, whoa, dead in the water.
Yeah.
We go to the mess hall. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Neelix finds Janeway working late in preparation for the oncoming wave front. Neelix says he is worried about crew morale and suggests initiating an open door protocol on the holodeck. Keep it open 24 hours a day. Come in as you please, go as you please. And he invites the captain to go with him to the Ox and Lamb, and she declines. That's all I have for that scene.
that's about it.
And she declines. That's it.
Because the crew's not used to sitting still. And just like that space shot, you know, the kind of everyone is waiting for this hurricane to show up.
Right.
So,
We discover that she declines this offer, this invitation from Neelix, because she has other plans, which is heading straight to Sullivan's.
We go back to Fairhaven in Sullivan's pub and
Goodness. Yes. Yeah. She declined because she had to go see her new crush. And she asked for a cup of tea. And then we find out
he speaks a little Gaelic in the scene. He says something in Gaelic.
Yeah.
She says translation.
Yeah.
And he says 100,000 welcome.
Right.
She says something about her aunt had a saying that a stranger is a friend.
It's a friend you just haven't met. Yes.
Yet.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love
that. So they kind of exchange this sort of Irish inspired, you know, friendly sayings. Yeah. And she says she didn't intend to stay here, but she would have a bit of tea. And even if as she goes to leave then, and he says, oh, what about a game of rings?
Yes.
And she's like, nope. And he gets her when he says, oh, are you afraid that you'll lose?
Yes.
And she says, I rarely
lose. And that's how you get Janeway to play, is you basically challenge her and say,
challenge
that you're going to lose
the contest.
And she
stays. She stays.
She says just one game, but clearly that's not what happens. There's probably multiple games because we come back from a commercial break And they're doing shots.
Yeah, they're playing rings, not tea anymore.
No, no more tea. And there's also arm wrestling involved.
Well, she says, because he's been winning at rings.
Yes.
So she's like, you know, you've been cheating. And I think you stepped over the line. And he says something about, well, my shoe's too big. So
right.
Technically, my toe was behind the line, but the shoe was over the line. So very sort of fun, playful, competitive sort of thing. They're really enjoying this. Yeah. And then she challenges him to arm wrestle.
Yes.
They start arm wrestling. She grabs his hands at one point, like cheating.
Yes.
And pulls them in close to her chest. And she's holding them there and giggling like a middle school girl. Very childlike and sweet. And he basically says, I really like you. There's something really intriguing.
Yeah.
And she responds, well, flattery is the food of fools.
Right. And that's a good line.
Yeah. And he says, is that another one of your aunt's sayings? And she goes, no, it's Jonathan Swift, the writer.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I'm not much for reading. Immediately, you know, Janeway's like, uh-oh, this guy doesn't read.
This is the first
problem for her, because she loves to read.
Yes.
And then Frances shows up.
Frances does show up. And boy, she's a very understanding wife. I'm going to say that, because if I was her in her shoes and I showed up to where my husband was working and he didn't come home all night long.
All night long.
And there's one other individual and it happens to be an attractive lady that's hanging out with my husband. I'd be a little bit suspicious. Just a tad bit.
Yes. Yep. Agreed. Okay. We go to sick bay next.
Yeah.
We are in sick bay and the doctor and Tom in the background, they're inoculating the crew for this radiation that's heading in. And
Janeway says, good morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not morning. It's afternoon.
Yes. She's late.
She's so late.
Yeah.
And we know why.
Yeah. She explains that she's been on the holodeck.
Yes.
And, the doctor compliments Tom, a rare compliment.
Oh, you know? Rare.
He did a great job on
that. I was shocked that he complimented you. Paris does ask if he can expand Fairhaven into Holodeck 2 to recreate the seacoast. And then the doctor quickly chimes in, because he's eavesdropping, of course, saying, speaking of revisions, I hope to give my character a more active role, because the priests were the primary people in the village.
They were the most important character in the village.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you put him in his place so well, because you rarely ever do that. And so I LOL'd.
It was a funny little exchange there. Where Janeway literally grabs Paris and drags him out. Yes. Like, stop it.
But your setup is it's
a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, you were like, that's so great idea, doctor. Yes. In fact, Father Mulligan is going to head off to a
monastery. He's going to head. We'll send him to a monastery where he takes a vow of silence and never speaks again. And Janeway drags him out. By the way, I just want to say here that so they're both complimenting Tom on his new holodeck program. What would this crew do without Tom Paris creating holodecks to entertain them? There's Captain Proton. There's Sandrine's bar. There's all of it. Like, what would they do? They'd have to play, Tuvok's mutiny simulation over and over or something.
We would be watching Kate's Dying Swan performance over and over again.
Thank God Tom can create these holodecks.
Yeah, you have really been the recreation officer is what you
are. Speciality.
That's your side position, right? Yeah. So you're the R&R officer.
Yeah.
But I got to say, it's just so funny watching Janeway drag you out of there, because she knows what.
I do a
it
double
was almost
take
like a sitcom.
End.
It was like, yeah, this is the sitcom right now. Yeah, I mean, you do the double take. And then when you guys are out of sick bay, the doctor kind of turns a little dark at the end. And
he's got to have the last word.
Yeah. And it's sort of like, well, you kibosh me. Well, I'm going to. Nah, nah, nah. And it was
what did he say? He had some.
Something about you'll be saying more than Hail Marys or something to that effect.
Yeah,
but it was very, very catty and very like, you know, it just kind of messed the scene up for me. I enjoyed you putting him in his place. I did not enjoy the doctor, you know, getting all dark at the very end. Yeah, there could have been a more lighthearted response from
It was definitely he was triggered.
Oh my God.
The doctor got triggered.
It was unbelievable. It was okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're on the bridge, and I love how you guys have just left sick bay. And it's good that Janeway dragged you, because you arrive seconds before the wave hits you on the bridge.
Thank God.
Tuvok says 30 seconds. And anytime anyone says a certain amount of time, I then do the countdown. Do you ever do that?
And it was like,
it's off.
Six seconds.
It was 22 seconds, actually.
Oh, that's so funny.
22 before the wave actually hit us. So I don't know why that they don't time that out so it's exactly what it is, but that's just Hollywood, I guess. The ruptured plasma conduit is the only thing that's damaged on deck 9, so we don't really incur much damage from this.
No, it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Although I did want to say, when Janeway and Paris come out of the turbo lift, I had a memory of shooting this scene.
Oh,
and Kate and I were rarely in a, you know,
Were you coming in together?
Yeah,
from the turbo lift? Rarely. Yes, you're right.
And I remember that turbo lift, they shut the doors and you're inside the turbo lift and you're kind of stuck there until the camera's ready and everything. I did have memories of, because we wanted to come in lighthearted and then all of a sudden change to, and so she kept saying to me, you've got to make me laugh. Like, tell me something funny. So we come in.
So joking.
Every take, I remember going in there and going, all right. I remember telling like dirty jokes, or she was just like, come on, do something funny, because we have to come in laughing and lighthearted. And so I felt this pressure of every time the door shut. All right. What am I going to say now? I just remember being like,
was she totally serious, like in serious mode back there? Come on, Robbie, you got to come in with something funnier.
Make me laugh. Every time. Something funnier. Like,
thanks for putting me on the spot. Oh my God.
Yeah. I went to dirty jokes, I think.
Well, that's one way. That's one way, but you could have just tickled her. That's the other thing.
Yeah,
you could have did a little goochie goochie goo, and maybe that would have gotten her.
Yeah,
too.
That might have worked. Okay. I did remember that though, watching the scene.
Wow. Okay. Where are we now?
Exterior, we go out to space.
Yeah. Look at this exterior space shot from above Voyager. Yeah, we're looking down. Very cool with all these blue and green colors from the neutrino wavefront. And it's
the hurricane. We're stuck inside the hurricane.
But again, it's an angle which we never see. All right. Yep. It's very rare to see it.
Very rare.
Up top.
And it was very pretty. Mm-hmm. Very pretty.
Captain's personal log, right?
Long, we get that. Yeah, there's a long log here. Yeah.
Very long. 3 more days to clear the anomaly. She talks about the crew being in good spirits. Mm-hmm. Many have been visiting Fairhaven, and she met an interesting man there. So this is sort of a Dear Diary entry. We weren't exactly compatible, is what she says. But
and in the hallway, by the way.
Yeah.
When she's walking, did you see how sneaky she looked? She kept looking over her shoulder.
She was like
a sneaky kid. I'm going to go to the candy closet. No, I hope nobody sees me. That's very funny.
She was so sneaky. So she says that she wasn't exactly compatible with Sullivan, but Tom Paris didn't program him to her specifications. So here we go. Now we know what she's going to do. Next scene, holodeck one, after she's all sneaky, she makes modifications to Michael Sullivan. She gives him the education of a 19th century third year student at Trinity College. She makes him more provocative. The computer doesn't understand that command. Specify. Give him a more complicated personality. Specify. More outspoken, more confident, more curious about the world around him. And increase the character's height by 3 centimeters. Remove his facial hair. Oh, no, put some of it back. Okay, about 2 days of growth. And of course, delete the wife. Naughty, naughty Janeway.
Mm. Yeah, the delete the wife is at the very end. Oh, and she goes, oh, and one more thing. Yeah, and she brings up his relationship profile or something.
Yeah.
Janeway, delete the wife.
Look at her.
Yes. And it was the whole delivery of this was like, it was very sensual. It's
surprising.
Yeah.
And disturbing for JC Shippers.
Yes, it was. We go to the mess hall next, and it starts with a blurry POV of the mess hall. We don't know whose it is.
Right. Who's got bad vision? Who needs LASIK here?
We cut around to Tuvok, and he's clearly not feeling good.
No.
Not at all. He's got a sour look on his face.
Yeah, he played it well, that's for sure. So Seven walks up to Tuvok and asks if he has space sickness, if he's ill, and he says, no, I'll be fine. Tom and Harry enter, debating whether there should be fog or no fog. Harry wants fog. Tom doesn't want fog.
Tom says, this is called Fairhaven, Harry. Yeah. Like, it's sunny. Beautiful. Yeah. It's supposed to be a beautiful place, not a sad, scary... No.
Exactly.
So they go to Tuvok.
Yeah, our conversation, we come up to where Seven and Tuvok are, and the debate continues, and Tom starts talking about Tom asks Tuvok's opinion. You know, so what do you think, Tuvok? You know, should we include the ocean? And there's this, you know, funny bit.
Great place to meditate.
Yeah.
And then you and I both start, you know, I'm describing it, you know, just picture yourself out on a little boat in a beautiful seaside, and the waves go up and down. And then you were like miming it.
I was miming everything. Yes. Oh, I don't recall. Do you remember? Did Alan must have said, like, you know, Garrett, why don't you, you know, do something here, you know, I don't know if I came up with that miming next to you or not, but it was definitely funny in order to create
this cutting back to Tim, Russ,
feeling more nauseous by the moment. Yes.
And then Neelix arrives.
Yes.
Wants to know which traditional Irish dish to make.
Right.
Offers a few choices.
Lamb.
Yeah. Yeah. But wants to make blood pudding, but
well, Tom's the one that says blood pudding. Pick that one, right? Yeah. And he starts talking about intestines and blood, and Tuvok at that point he can't take anymore. And
Tuvok cannot take it.
He leaves. I'm gonna go see
the doctor right now. Yeah.
It's a good scene though. I like it. Yeah.
By the way, I didn't think of this before, but we never find out what was wrong with him, do we?
It's from radiation. It's from the radiation. Yeah.
The radiations.
That's what it was. It was the radiations.
But we never really, like, it's just a bit here.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't turn into anything.
No, we don't see later, but we.
So it was just for the comedic.
Just radiation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just the comedic bit of he's feeling sick and hurt. It was funny. It was a funny bit.
It was a funny bit. We're at the Fairhaven Town Square, and Janeway, who is now wearing clothing from the 19th century, she's
going in deep.
She's all in. And she asks Grace where Michael Sullivan is. And she says, well, probably at the bar. And she says, no, I was already there. She goes, oh, well, then he's at the train station. So then we're thinking, wait a minute, is he leaving town? We don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? He's sitting on a bench in front of the train station reading his book of poetry. So he sits down. She asks him, she actually asked him about a train when it's leaving. And Sullivan says, you missed it. But if you hang out, another one will come up. And so she sits next to him and they start talking about poetry. And
now he knows more about poetry and literature than she does.
Yes. he says she has a lot of catching up to do, basically.
Yeah, right? Which she kind of loves. And then they talk about Castle Odell.
Castle Odell, which then made me think of my friend Jennifer Odell, who's an actress. And you don't see that Odell name very often in the world. So that made me think of her. And they leave to go see Castle Odell. That's the plan. Now we're on the streets of Fairhaven, and Michael Sullivan is talking about the belief in fairies that Irish have.
Yeah.
The fairy king reclaims the castle at sundown, and you have to stay away because if you join in on the banquet, if you eat any fairy food, you'd never come back. So basically, that's the end of your life if you join in on a fairy banquet. And he does bring up, have you a man waiting for you at home? That's the exact sentence structure he used. Have you a man waiting for you at home? And she's like, no, clearly not. And as they're flirting, Chakotay shows up at that moment.
She hears a voice, Captain. Yeah. And there's Chakotay. And it was awkward.
Oh, you can see.
She looked busted. Was like, and he's like, oh, really?
That's my reaction video. I'm like, busted. Exactly. Exactly.
I love this moment because I was like, this is a great JC moment for it the is. Awkwardness.
It is.
And I thought he was going to like, they were going to start fighting over
her
or something.
Yeah. But he played it cool, right? As Chakotay does. And you could tell he was taking, you know, he knew what was happening. He knew exactly what was happening and he was playing with it a little bit, right?
Yeah, he was
like, hey, you know what? No, have fun. Have a great time. I'll see you later. And he was waiting for the next moment to see her on the bridge or on the ship later to kind of give her crap about this. So, but again, great moment.
Great moment. Chakotay ends up going in the oxen lamb to meet Neelix,
right?
Off to meet Neelix. And then Michael says to Janeway at the end, he goes, is it my imagination or did he just call you captain? And Janeway's response is,
Did he? And then she kind of rolls her eyes a little bit as they walk away, which is great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Exterior space shot of Voyager still in the anomaly and then back on the bridge. And there is an increase in the neutronic gradient at the trailing edge of the wavefront. So the worst is yet to come. So Tom makes a Tuvok barometer joke a little bit later, which is very funny. The look that he gives Tom after you kind of talk about that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And Chakotay picks up Jane Alden's book of poetry and basically calls Janeway out on her interest in Michael Sullivan, the bartender.
Yeah, she's like, I'm interested in Irish culture. That's all. He's like, really?
Really? Yeah, and interested in bartenders as well.
Yeah, he says a few things, but he says, is it my imagination or is that Michael Sullivan taller than he was before? Seems like things are different. Like he's noticing.
He knows everything. He's picked it all out. But he also says to her, there's no reason for embarrassment. And then, you know, Janeway says, well, too bad he's made of photons and force fields. And Chakotay replies with, I never let that stand in my way. So clearly
that was weird. To me.
It was weird, but, and I don't remember this at all, but you know what that's saying? It's basically saying that he has already engaged in this
engaged
himself.
Engaged in romance
and
on the holodeck.
And intimate relations on the holodeck. Yeah. And that it's a common thing, at least in Chakotay's life. And maybe in all of the crew's life in a way, I suppose, right?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, the whole concept of like romance.
It is.
You know, emotional romance with a artificial intelligence, you know, a holodeck character or physical romance, you know, all of those things you start to kind of, starts to get complicated because I think about like, you know, the Doctor is a hologram. But yet we endow him with lots more, you know, lots of human traits that we would never even begin to give to a temporary holodeck character.
Correct. And it's just, it's interesting because that is kind of the theme throughout this in that Janeway does keep saying, oh my gosh, I almost, like later on, she talks about, I almost wrote him a Dear John letter, but what am I thinking? He's a hologram, you know? And so there's this sort of this attitude where, at least for Janeway, she sort of discounts Michael Sullivan.
At this point, like,
And really, up until this point, we've had so many episodes where it's all about everyone fighting for the Doctor's rights to be, you know, sentient and this and that. Yeah. And me on this podcast saying the Doctor is basically Microsoft Windows. You know, so I'm kind of the thinking that he is just a program and it doesn't really matter. But but clearly, there are feelings.
Well, Chakotay saying, you know, don't let that stand in your way. I never let that stand in my way or whatever.
Yeah.
Janeway's experimenting with it here and, you know, finding her own comfort zone with boundaries and what's going on. So it's a complicated question, the whole thing.
It's starting
to get real in the story at this point.
But I think that his comment, I never let that stand in my way, kind of gave an okay to Janeway to pursue this further.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was, and if for those JC shippers out there, for it's almost like he sort of said, you know what? Let's make this an open relationship. You know, you can see other people too. So that's kind of how.
Well,
it seemed
I know
to me.
That Kate has said many times, and you know, to us and in the press or whatever, she said for years that she did not believe Janeway should have a relationship with one of her staff.
Yeah.
That's why the Chakotay thing never was able to be truly explored, that she really strongly believed that the captain would not have a relationship
Yeah.
With, and in fact, later on, the doctor's going to literally say that as a character.
Yeah.
Support what Kate felt as an actress about her character. So it's, there's a lot of like Kate's opinions about romance for her character, the kind of double bind she was in of, well, I can't have romance with my staff, but these alien of the week things are kind of shallow. And so the holodeck is sort of this episode's really kind of trying to unpack that and see where the boundaries are on all that for Kate, for the captain, and for the show. So
if there's ever a Voyager movie, it should open on a scene of Chakotay and Janeway married, waking up in bed next to each other, because he's been posted on another ship. So they're no longer working with each other. There you go.
And they finally are able to get together. Agreed.
Yeah. Agreed. Can you see that? I can see that. He basically gives her the okay to have this holographic relationship with Michael Sullivan. And the next scene, I love how it cuts directly back to Fairhaven. And she's in this crazy, you know,
Irish
lots of
jig.
Movement.
She's
Irish
doing
jig.
Like the Irish and, jig with the crowd and the band.
Yes.
By the way, those were real musicians that were playing.
That's right.
They were playing to a pre-recorded song, but they were real Irish musicians.
Yes. What did it remind you of?
The choreography was really fun.
Yeah.
It was great.
What did it remind you of?
I don't know. What?
The scene from James Cameron's Titanic when Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio are dancing around like that. So
that's
the same kind of energy right there.
Yes.
And I love how after everything's done and she's feeling a little something going on.
Frisky.
She deletes all characters except for Michael.
What was also, she deletes all the characters, but the way that Alan Craker did it was very cool because the camera sort of sees her running off to the side of the room and you see the crowd and she runs out of the crowd and comes over. The camera goes to her. She says, delete the characters. And then the camera kind of wraps around to reveal the room again and they're all gone.
Empty. They're all gone. Yep.
And it was without a cut. And so I thought, oh, that's amazing.
They all vacated the whole scene?
All ran out of there while she stood over.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good job.
It was very well done.
Because there's a lot of extras there. And for them to all clamor out of there without tripping over each other is a great
job. I think that's
job.
How they did it.
Yeah.
I didn't take a second look
there was
at
no
it,
cut, right? There's no cut.
I didn't see a cut there.
Okay.
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah. And the smooch happens.
And there's a kiss. Yeah, let's just cut to the chase.
Let's cut to the chase.
There's a deep, romantic, Irish.
Well, there's a pause after the initial kiss. There's a pause where she kinda,
there's another kiss.
I know, but I thought that's when she would realize, I can't do this to Chakotay. I just can't. And then
walk out. Have we ever seen her kiss on the series, Janeway? Maybe on the Pleasure Planet. Maybe that guy?
Oh.
I can't remember a kiss. When I saw her kissing, I was like, whoa, I don't think we've seen this.
Oh, you know what it was? The Pleasure Planet guy, he was coming in for a kiss. And then it was Harry that interrupts Captain Janeway.
Yeah, so I don't think she ever got a kiss.
So she actually
hasn't. This may be her first kiss on the series. You guys out there listening can correct me if I'm wrong.
Ooh, yeah.
I think it was. I think it was.
Smoochy. Okay.
And I think that's how we end the act.
Yes.
Little break, but when we come back, we're in Janeway's quarters, and things are very different.
Oh, she's cold, and she picks up that stack
she
of seems Irish books.
Angry, she takes all the books over to the replicator. A long, slow decision.
Yeah,
and she says, "Computer, recycle."
Yeah. Now,
like, what happened?
Okay, but just rewind for a second. Has anyone ever recycled anything before this point?
No.
So I thought,
I'm sure we do.
Yeah, I'm sure we do, but we never see it. And I thought, that's so cool. They're still recycling in the future, which is important. You know, we need to recycle limited resources.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's
upset. Something happened.
Yeah.
And Neelix comes in.
Yeah.
And he invites her to a rings tournament over at Sullivan's.
Right.
And he says, the doctor's going to sing Danny Boy.
Yeah.
And there's even a talking pig, he says. And she says, nope, I'd rather stick to reality.
Okay, what's up with the talking pig bit?
I don't know, because it comes back later,
but I'm just, I don't, did you program the pig to talk?
Yeah.
Is that what you did?
I think I don't think it's a real talking pig. I think,
what is it?
It's an Irish tall tale. The pig's okay. gonna go, and he's gonna say, "See, it said okay. I love corn," and they're gonna be like, "No, it didn't. Do it again." That's I love corn in pig. It's gonna be one of those.
So there's a corn classes. Pig, and now in social media, there's a corn kid, like we talked about before. I love corn. All right, so we've, you and I have spoken in the past on a Admiral call about having post-con blues and how you don't really experience it. Well, I wrote down for this scene that Janeway has post-hollow blues is what she has.
She does.
Yeah.
She's got blues and a bit of anger about it. Like anger. It was interesting that it turned from just sadness to like, I'm so frustrated with myself. Why have I done this?
Did you? So you read anger. I read detachment. I read detachment and coldness. Yeah. So I didn't really read as much anger as you did. I just felt she was cold and detached at that point. Mm-hmm. Just trying to make a separation so that she wouldn't feel her feelings anymore.
We go to Sullivan's next. We start in a tight shot of the rings board, and someone has hit every bullseye, cuts around, and it's seven.
It's playing, seven with her superior hand-eye coordination. She is killing it at rings. Seamus praises her skill.
He says her beauty. Her beauty is going to make him faint.
Yes.
He says.
Yeah.
And then she responds with, well, then perhaps we should sit down. If you're going to faint from my beauty, perhaps we should sit down. And they go over to...
They walk away. The camera pivots over to us. And Harry's like, really? That's all it takes? Yeah. That's all you got to do to get in with seven? My goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tom explains it's old world charm, Harry. It's you can't resist the old world charm. Clearly, Janeway can't resist it either.
No.
Even seven can't resist it.
So,
Neelix is now the bartender. And Tom says, hey, where's Michael?
Yeah.
And he points over there. And we look over and there's Michael in the corner drinking by himself. And Tom's like, I programmed him not to drink.
Right.
So we go over to see why he's drinking alone.
Right. And the we includes the doctor. So it's Tom, Harry, and the doctor that walk over to join him at his table.
Yeah.
And he tells him that he's in agony. Mm-hmm. He's in agony. Katie Eau Claire disappeared on him. Just out of the blue. They were having a picnic and all of a sudden he fell asleep and he woke up and she was gone. And he has not heard or seen anything of her in the last however many hours. So he's upset.
In love. He thinks Tom knows where she is. He's like, where is she? Tell me. You know more. You know. And then he attacks Tom. And there's a brawl in the pub. Everybody's throwing punches. And I love the doctor saying, gentlemen, please. Love thy neighbor.
Great
funny little bit.
Great line by the writer Berger. Yes, good job. Sick bay.
Yep.
Neelix, Harry, and Tom being treated by the doctor for injuries sustained in the fight at Sullivan's. I just love this whole scene. I love the fact that we're all nicked up and scuffed up and the hair's all messed up.
I love it, but yet part of me was like, wait a minute. We have safety protocols on the holodeck. Like none of us should be injured like this.
True. But I think you may have turned them off possibly.
Why would I turn? Why would you ever turn off safety protocols on a?
Well, maybe
I don't know. To me, I was like, oh, it's cool, but we wouldn't really get.
Maybe you forgot to put them in. Is that possible? Where you were so excited about doing it. You thought it's such a sunny place and it's so lovely. And nobody's going to, do any.
You never know where these holodeck programs are going to go. I would always leave safety on.
Okay.
Always safety first.
Yeah.
Harry,
yeah.
Safety first.
Yeah.
But Janeway comes in. She says, what happened? And Harry tells her that it was Michael Sullivan. Yeah,
Michael Sullivan started this whole thing. But then the doctor gives him this little look. He's like don't zip it. Look at it. And he was looking for someone. That was how
it was very funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I think the moments were played very well in this scene.
The doctor says to Janeway, maybe we should take a walk.
Yes.
And which turns out to be the longest
walk
I've ever seen on our show.
I wrote that down. I was like, when are they going to run out of set? And there is a cut after the first, but they walk forever. It's just like, do they add more set?
No, I'll tell you where, because I went back. I was like, I want to know where they walked. I want to figure this out on our set.
Yes.
So they start So you know the hallway in front of engineering where you go into engineering?
Yes, they start you there.
You can head one way that would go to sick bay if you come out of engineering, or you head the other way and it just goes to a turn.
Yeah.
They started coming
from the turn.
From the turn and passing engineering.
Pass engineering, okay.
Then they go down and they pass the turbo lift hallway. They pass sick bay. They go all the way to the holodeck.
Right.
And so that's the part one of this walk. It is the entire length of the longest hallway we have on set. And they used it for just part one.
Right.
And then,
when
Janeway says, okay, I'll confess, I'll tell you.
Right.
When it gets to that part of the scene, they reverse it.
And they walk back the other direction.
Back past sick bay again. Then they get to the turbo lift corner and they hide around there.
Yeah.
And then the last part is going to the turbo lift.
Yeah.
So this, it was a long sequence.
This is the longest walk and talk in the history of Star Trek Voyager.
I think
at this
is.
Point.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
By far. So during this walk, brokenhearted hologram who believed that the two of you were in love is the message that the doctor gave to Janeway. Mm-hmm. And the doctor continues to say that the fight spilled out onto the street and culminated in Michael climbing up a tree and shouting Janeway's name. Yes. Drunken, screaming, shouting her name.
And he also says, I know you made alterations to this.
Yes.
He does ask her and she doesn't want to talk about it. Want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And ultimately he says, you know, you can talk to me. I've been hearing a lot of confessions lately.
Right.
And then she finally says, okay. And that's where part two starts.
Part two walk happens. Yep.
Turning around.
Yep.
And then on this part two, she begins it by saying, he says, okay, well, tell me what happened. She goes, you know the story. Girl meets boy. Girl falls in love with boy. Girl modifies boy's subroutines. I love that. And then he asks, did you have intimate relations?
It's none of your business.
Goes, none of your business. Let's just say it was a memorable few days. So clearly they did.
Yeah, she got nookie. But the last line that he says is basically, he says, then perhaps next time you should let him snore. So I like that writing there. I thought that was a cool final line.
Yeah.
But I want to just talk about this walk and talk. Because it was so long, I started to realize all the post Foley that was entered of all the footsteps going on. You hear them throughout the whole thing. And it's so funny. And so interesting how Rick Berman always wanted to have a carpet there to muffle the sound of footsteps, yet they add in footsteps in post, and it makes it sound like they're walking on a hard surface because it is a so I thought that was interesting. It's sort of like, wow, you went through all that to basically put it back in. That's what you did.
So,
The
lesson of this long walk and talk, I think, is the doctor saying, I know you modify the program. You can't control every aspect. In life, we can't control every aspect of our experience. You can't, you know, just because he's snoring and you decide, okay, I'm going to change the program so he won't snore. You can't do that in real life. So you have to like accept these people, even though they're holograms, for who they are.
Correct.
And then you'll have a more authentic experience, whatever that experience is. And he does say, you deserve romance. He even says in this scene, he says, you know, you can't have relations with your crew. You can't have relations with, you know, some alien we happen to fly by once every, you know, planet that we run into. Mm-hmm. You deserve to have your heart dealt with and that, you know, instead of, you know, trying to change all the imperfections, just, you know, accept this for what it is. And she says at one point, she says, I just wanted to know if he loved me back.
Yeah, she does say that. Mm-hmm.
And he responds with something like, well, isn't that the risk that you always take?
Yeah.
You'll never know unless you really accept people for who they are, if they truly love you back.
Yeah.
And then her final response was, you know, I've never been afraid of taking risks before.
Yeah.
So you see that she's been convinced that, you know, maybe there is some value to this. So anyway, great scene, lots of ideas explored in the scene and every inch of our hallways was walked down.
Yeah.
Literally every inch of the set that we had was used for that scene. We go to space. And the storm now is pretty rough. I love the colors again.
The colors are great. Cool. Now we're on the bridge. It's a rocky ride. The neutronic gradient is rising. Shields are holding, though. Torres chimes in on the comm saying that the inverse warp field is destabilizing. We're losing our anchor. Mm-hmm. A little naval reference to the earlier naval reference from Janeway. Mm-hmm. We have 5 more minutes before we clear this wave front, but Harry says that's 4 minutes too long. Stabilizers are offline. Thrusters have no effect. Shields are now failing. Chakotay suggests using a deflector beam to cut a path through the wave front. Tuvok says we have to reroute all available power to the emitters, including holodecks. Harry quickly says, because this is very important, Harry says, since the program wasn't shut down properly, we would lose most of Fairhaven. And I love that he brings this up in a moment of like, okay, the ship's going to blow up, basically.
Yeah, do we keep our game?
Do we keep the game? And this to me sounds like a comment that would come from me, Garrett Wong, like, because I'm so into my games. So I'm like, wait a minute. Are we sure we are okay with losing the game? Like, this is how I would be talking, not Harry. So I was shocked that Harry brought that up. And well, Janeway says, just do it. It works for a while, but the deflector output starts to drop. Janeway says, give it all we got. Scrape the residual ions off the sonic showers if you have to. Love that line. And we do. And we barely make it through, but we do. We make it out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still alive. Thank
you. By the way, at the end of this, the shaking and the rough ride, Janeway's hair looks like it's been through the worst battle we've ever experienced. She has the poofiest, biggest hair. I'm always
poofy.
Focused on her hair.
You are. Well, we are back in Fairhaven, and Tom and Harry assess the damage to the program, and there's fritzing going on everywhere. Seamus walks up and starts to talk, but ends up fritzing out before he can get another shilling from
you. Poor Seamus.
Yeah, it was sad. And we can only save a small percentage of the program. And before we decide which parts of the program to save, that's when Paris says, I need to talk to Captain Janeway about this. And that's where we end up in her ready room.
And the thing I loved about this scene is we walked around the back lot of Universal looking at the damage done. You know, there's leaves blowing on the ground. Yeah. There's not as many extras out. And all of the set pieces, they had put this kind of fritzing. You could even see the hologrid up in the sky.
Yes.
Because Seamus says there's a storm brewing.
There's a storm brewing.
We look up and it's the holes in the hologrid.
Right.
The holodeck behind it.
But we play along with him. We're like, yes, it is. It's brewing. Yeah.
Yes.
True.
But I love the VisFX and kind of seeing it falling apart.
Yeah.
I thought that was very well done.
Looks very cool. Well, you enter Janeway's ready room and you tell her that Harry says only 10% of the program can be saved. And you ask for permission to reconstruct the program, which would take 6 or 7 weeks. And you just wanted to come there to find out if Janeway had any suggestions.
And she says, go ahead and reconstruct it.
Yeah, she's into it. She gives you the permission.
And then we see her in the hallway after that. And she goes to the holodeck and steps inside, asks the computer if Michael Sullivan is still intact, the character. She brings him up.
She activates him, yes.
Activates him. But this time he's not just a frozen image. He's interacting with her there.
And how does he not see that he's not on the? Doesn't he see the?
It's just the
how the sausage is made. Doesn't he see this
holodeck? It's not the set. It's not any of that. But he immediately says, "You know, where did you go?"
Yeah,
he's still in love.
Yeah,
and she says that she's leaving Fairhaven.
Yeah,
he says, "Why?" And she says, "Well, it's complicated." He asks, "Is there another man? Is it your friends don't like me?" And she says, no, it's just complicated. And he tells her that he loves her.
Yes, he does.
And then she says, well, you know, I may be heading by Fairhaven in 6 or 7 weeks and maybe I'll stop by. So it's kind of ambiguous. Like, is she really leaving or is she going to stop by now and then?
Well, I think she was prepared to say I'm leaving for good. But the minute he said, I love you. That gave her pause, and she thought, you know what? Okay, all right.
Because that's what she said she wanted to know in the earlier scene. She said, I just wanted to know how he felt, if he loved me too.
And now she knows, and then that made her sort of give you know, a second thought to it, where she then says, yeah, in 6 or 7 weeks, I'll possibly be back in the area and maybe I'll come by the pub. And he ends with, see that you do. And so she gives him a kiss on the cheek and she says, end program. And as she's leaving Holodeck One, about to walk out, she stops and she says, oh, I want to make one more modification to the character. She says, deny Catherine Janeway any future access to his behavioral subroutine. So there you go. She's learned her lesson that the doctors help her learn. Don't mess with it. Just let it go.
Just let it be what it is. Yeah,
let it be what it is.
Oh,
don't control it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a little sweet. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What's your theme or lesson from this episode, Fairhaven?
My theme was that sometimes your heart knows what you need more than your mind. Follow your heart sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
Having a reasonable intellectual perspective on things is good, but like the doctor said, you know, don't try to control everything. Just follow your heart.
Yeah.
So that was my lesson. What about you?
Similar to yours. Yeah, you have follow your heart, and mine is don't be afraid to release, to let go of control. That's definitely something that I think a lot of people have problems with, where they feel like they have to do everything and they can't delegate to anyone else. They have to do it all, you know, or in a relationship, you have to control how the other person is reacting to you or this and that. And really, where does that get you? If you're sitting here trying to control every aspect of something, and really it's just taking that step and saying, okay, I'm not going to be afraid of this. I'm not going to fear this. I'm just going to let it go. Just let it ride. Let it happen as it is and not try to control everything. So really just let go of the controlling nature that we often all engage in. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
My rating for Fairhaven, I really loved this episode. I thought it was funny. I thought there was good romance. I thought the sci-fi part of it was simple enough in terms of this hurricane ion storm thing or radiation storm. Simple enough that it was easy to wrap my head around. Yeah. And so I like this a lot. I'm going to give it an
8.5. 8.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm going to go higher.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to go 8.9, possibly 9.1. So I'm going
to, give it a 9. Just give
I'm
going to
give it a straight up 9. I'm going to say 9. Okay. I'm going to say 9.1 just because wearing those period piece costumes and not having to wear Starfleet uniforms was a joy. And really just all around, I thought the acting was really, really good throughout this entire episode.
I did too.
And from guest stars and series regulars alike. And I talk about in my reaction videos for the Patreon patrons, I talk about how typically I'm very, very critical of my performance. And I was really very pleased with what I did in this episode. So
yeah, I thought everybody did a great job.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you got a 9.1. Is that where you...
I'll go 9.1.
Okay, 9.1. I went 8.5. Our Admiral and Captain average rating for Fairhaven this week is...
what is it?
6.9.
What?
What?
Do you have that reversed? Was it 9.6? Or what? Are you kidding me?
6.9. Seriously?
Wow.
Wow. You and I really loved this a lot more.
We did love this episode.
I wonder if it was skewed.
Maybe because there wasn't enough technobabble in here. You know, for us reviewing this, we had less to write down. We didn't have to like wrap our minds around physics concepts or anything like that.
I think people were offended that Janeway fell in love, not with Chakotay,
but with Michael Sullivan,
but with a hologram.
And you know what that says? That says there are so many JC shippers out there. That's what that tells me.
That would be my guess. I don't know that that's true, but that would be my guess.
Goodness.
We were way
off.
The rate?
That's really it. 6.9.
Because you and I, our average then would be like 8.7, 8.8.
Yeah, of course. Right? It'd be high.
8.8.
Yes.
8.8. Would be right in the middle of you and me.
Oh, my goodness.
We have an average of 8.8.
I'm very
shocked. Admirals and Captains of 6.9. That's, I feel like I'm just, I don't know what's happening to the world.
I think I'm going to end. I'm no longer doing this podcast anymore. I'm finished. I am done, everyone. Robbie, have fun on your own. See ya. Okay. Yeah, it's a little, I'm at a loss of words. I've never, have they ever rated, that's the lowest rating they've given an episode. Have they
gone? Maybe. That's crazy. It may be one of the lowest averages.
Okay. We didn't start doing the ratings until later in our podcast, correct?
Yeah.
So we don't know what Twisted would have rated. We don't know what some of the other episodes.
Yeah.
But since we've been rating them, that is the lowest that the Admirals and Captains have given an episode. Oh, wow. That's shocking.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we got to accept it. Yeah, we have to control it. Give up control, Garrett.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Just
good on
go with your heart.
I'm going to go with my
heart. We're going to go with our heart.
Stop trying to control it. Just let it go.
These lessons.
They're working already.
Work already.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to our recap and discussion of Fairhaven, which Robbie and I thought was an amazing episode.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
No matter what you guys think.
No matter what the Admirals and Captains think. But join us next week when Robbie and I will recap and discuss and hopefully be closer in line with the rating of everyone else. The episode Blink of an Eye. Blink of an Eye.
Okay. Yeah,
I like that title.
All right. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
See you next week.